Welcome to this special edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. As part of our 2020 election coverage, Delaware Public Media is offering a series of candidate conversations. We reached out to all candidates filed to run in the races for U.S. House and U.S. Senate, as well as governor, lieutenant governor, and insurance commissioner, and invited them to sit down with us. Candidates in each race are being asked about the same set of topics to allow you to get to know them and compare them. The interviews you'll hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. The race for U.S. House features four candidates challenging the incumbent, Democrat Lisa Blunt Rochester. Today, we feature the two Republicans in the race, Matthew Morris and Lee Murphy. Morris is running for public office for the first time.
So we'll start with, why did you decide to run for U.S. House?
So for the past 3 years, I have been advocating for substance use disorder treatment in the state of Delaware. And one of the things that I kept on hearing from our state legislators is that it's all about a matter of funding. Of course, where does the funding come from? It comes from our U.S. House representative who appropriates all the funds to our state.
And what should voters know about your qualifications for the job? Perhaps that they wouldn't know necessarily by looking at your website or doing a quick Google search of you.
Yeah, so one thing that I think that the voters need to take into consideration when voting for me is going to be that I am a very strong-minded person. I also have a strong background in business acumen. And I also have a very strong voice. I put the people's needs first, and I have a very strong rapport with the community already. And I also have a very strong resume with the community and all that I've accomplished already.
Are there a couple of things specifically that you look at on that resume that you think are specifically important for people to know about in terms of your qualifications to sit in Congress and serve in Congress?
Well, the one thing that that differs me from many other people is the fact that I'm not a career politician. I am just your average Joe. I don't have a background in politics aside from the community activism that I've been engaging in the past 3 years. But I have solid results, and I think that's all that really matters.
Okay. Let's talk about some issues, and we'll start with the current COVID-19 pandemic. And I guess my first question in that area is, how do you feel the federal government, specifically Congress, has done in responding to the pandemic? And if there's still no readily available vaccines or established treatments by the end of the year, what would you want Congress to prioritize in terms of dealing with the pandemic?
Well, first and foremost, I think that the most important thing is the overall general welfare and safety and health of our citizens. I think that Congress has done a tremendous job in appropriating funds to help people who were unemployed during the shutdown. However, I have strong feelings about the regulations that were kind of slid through the back door during the CARES Act, and I feel as though that was kind of a direct attack on Americans, and I feel as though that there's a time and place to put regulations into place and to present in certain bills, and I don't think that a bill that is made for helping Americans during a pandemic is the time to implement airline regulations and fuel regulations when Americans are struggling to find out how they're going to be able to pay their bills.
The other piece of this, the pandemic puzzle, is the economic piece. You talked a little bit about it in terms of the relief that was in some of those bills. But still, the country is in the midst of a recession with high unemployment because of this pandemic. What role do you think Congress can play in getting the economy back on track, especially if the pandemic continues to have an impact into 2021?
Yeah, so moving forward, we can't really focus on what has happened. We have to move forward in the situation. And I think that the most important thing is being able to support our small businesses. Being able to get people back on their feet and into the economy is one of the most important things. However, I do understand that there are going to be tremendous trickle-down effects from this pandemic. And, you know, I work for a company that's a multi-billion dollar company. We were losing hundreds of thousands of dollars a day simply because all of our stores had to be shut down. So It's going to be very interesting to see how this is all going to play out. I know that in the last economic crisis, we had to bail out a lot of companies, and I'm sure that that's going to be something that we're going to have to look into doing again. We need to make sure that we're putting Americans first and we're getting people back into the workforce.
Certainly, healthcare was a major issue in the last election cycle, the 2018 cycle, and there's still a lot of uncertainty about the future of the Affordable Care Act. At the same time, there is a growing push on the progressive side of the Democratic Party for some kind of what they would call Medicare for all.
Yeah.
What do you see as the appropriate path forward for addressing healthcare in this country? And if it's not the ACA or Medicare for all, what should it be?
So I stand firm in opening up the market for health insurance across state lines. I think that creating a competitive market is going to incentivize insurance companies to drop premium rates and be more a little bit competitive when it comes to rates and deductibles and providing great health care for individuals as well as their families. you know, I don't know if we have the capacity to be able to afford Medicare and Medicaid for all type of healthcare system. However, I believe that incentivizing it through a competitive market may be the best avenue to go.
Would you like to get rid of the Affordable Care Act as a whole, or would you be willing to, as some have suggested, work within that framework to do things differently?
So working with that framework to do things a little bit differently would be my avenue to take, absolutely. There are things that were in the Affordable Health Care Act that I believe helped Americans, especially with pre-existing conditions. Before, if, say, you were a patient who was at end of life, your insurance company could just cut you off and say, you know what, the last 5 months, you're just going to have to figure it out on your own. And I don't think that that's a compassionate way to be dealing with our citizens.
Let's move on to a topic that's also been front of the headlines recently, and that is the protests throughout the spring and summer on issues surrounding racial equality. The topics of debate on this have kind of run a pretty wide gamut, from getting rid of memorials and monuments and renaming sports teams to police reform and,
yeah,
and dealing with other disparities in terms of racial equity, things like housing, education,
yeah,
and things
absolutely
like that. So if you were elected, you know, what do you believe Congress's role would be in addressing some of these issues? What would you advocate for doing in Congress to address some of these issues?
Yeah, so when it comes to all of the events that have transpired over the past 3 months, when George Floyd, was murdered. you know, we saw a spike in the Black Lives Matter movement, and there are conflicting views on the entire movement versus the organization. And I think that we as a nation need to start focusing on the why. Why are we at this point? How did we get here? You know, I'm a firm believer, and I mean, the proof is in the pudding. What's going on in the city of Wilmington is a direct reflection of failed policies. I have been speaking with many advocates within the city limits of Wilmington, and we're all saying the same thing. You know, there's a mass incarceration legislation that was pushed through in the 80s. That has been a direct reflection of the Black community. I personally spent 2 years in prison. I saw systemic and institutional racism myself. I sat with many, 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 many men who had been incarcerated, who were given lengthy periods of of incarceration versus a white man who went before the same judge, who had the same charges, and was given less time. And I don't think that that's appropriate. And I understand that there are certain types of scales and weight systems for sentencing structures. And I think that being able to implement legislation that controls those sentencing structures with minimums and maximums is very, very important. But also, when it comes to policing, I think that defunding the police is not the answer. I don't know where that narrative came from, but I do think that community policing is very, very, very important. We need to get our police officers back into the community. We need them to be able to establish a relationship with our civilians. And the reason why is because when the relationship between civilians and law enforcement is mended, then there's more trust. If we have our officers out on the streets on foot instead of in patrol cars running around, you know, answering to calls or whatever, if we have our officers in the community, they're establishing a relationship with the community. And that's the most important part and missing piece to the puzzle in the trust in law enforcement. I think that we should vamp up our police funding. I think that we need to hire more police officers. I think that we need to have more police officers on the street. I think that our police officers are doing multiple jobs already. Look at Newcastle County police officers. Newcastle County police officers are not only doing the job of Newcastle County police, but they're also doing the jobs of Newcastle County paramedics and EMTs. They're administering naloxone and Narcan to more people than our actual EMTs and paramedics. That's an issue. And then when the Newcastle County police went to go ask for a raise, they were denied one. And then there was, of course, all those stipulations that followed with it. But, you know, this is a topic that it needs to be talked about. It's a very, very difficult topic for people to talk about because there has been police brutality. I myself have been a victim of police brutality. I have seen it firsthand, you know, and I think the resolution to that is that we need to be vigilant in reporting this police brutality. If we're not reporting, it's going to keep on happening. It's going to keep on happening to the same people. It's going to keep on happening in our communities, and we need to put an end to it. And the only way to put an end to it is to bring light to the corruption.
I was going to say, I mean, a lot of what you're talking about are these issues that are happening on the local level with Wilmington Police, Newcastle County Police.
Absolutely.
And I've asked this of a number of people. Do you feel it is an issue that is best handled at the local level, or is there a role for Congress and the federal level to get involved as well?
Yeah, so the only answer to that question is funding. You know, being able to appropriate the funds to local levels, to our municipalities within the city limits or within our county limits, is very, very important. I was just having a conversation the other day with somebody, and I was saying, you know, with us not putting the proper funding and resources into prison reform, into our police departments, all we're doing is creating a cyclical process of us wasting money. You know, I'm a firm believer in harm reduction. When it comes to harm reduction, I explain it like this. If you have somebody who overdoses and they are taken to the hospital, how much money does that hospital visit cost? Are we talking about, are they being put into a medical-induced coma? Are they having to be put on life support? These are things that we really have to come into consideration. Does the person have health insurance? Now, who's paying for their hospital visit? We are. So why aren't we implementing a structure of harm reduction within our communities that in turn is going to save us money? I am a firm believer in working smarter and not harder. And these are things that we need to be talking about. I, you know, as a conservative, I believe in fiscal responsibility, and the way that we've been doing things is like we throw money at problems, but they're not smart business acumen decisions. I think that accountability is the number one thing that we need to be focusing on when it comes to criminality and antisocial behaviors, as well as addiction. I think that we need to be implementing a system on a local level and incentivizing it on a federal level where we are incentivizing accountability from the very beginning. If somebody's being administered naloxone or Narcan because of an opioid overdose and they're being taken to the hospital, a social worker needs to sit down with this patient and say, hey, listen, your naloxone cost X amount of money. Your ambulance costs X amount of money. The EMTs are paid this much, and just getting to the door of the ED has cost this much money. If you do not take treatment, you're going to be held responsible for this bill. And I think that implementing a system of accountability from the very beginning is going to bring drastic social change to our people.
No matter how these elections turn out in 2020, the political atmosphere is likely to remain a very contentious one.
Yeah.
So how would you, if you're elected, work with colleagues from the other party to deal with these pressing issues that we've been talking about?
Yeah. So, you know, I had a politician who ran for office many years ago. She came and saw me at my store, and she brought me one of her books, and the one thing that she said was that she admired the fact that I have such a strong personality. I stand firm with my morals and my beliefs. However, I have the ability to reach across party lines and to have discussions in a healthy manner and be able to come up with a resolution and meet in the middle. I think that the problem with our government now is the fact that we have engaged in so many partisan agendas that we're not putting Americans first. We're not putting the proper resources into place. We are continuing to argue across party lines and nobody's meeting in the middle. There's no neutrality. And I think as a gay Republican, I'm one of those people that can meet down the center of the party lines and be able to reestablish a relationship between Democrats and Republicans, because right now it's not great at all. You know, we really need to focus on what's important to Americans and what is going to, quote unquote, make America great again.
And finally, is there an issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle? And how would you address it if you are elected?
You know, I think that a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon of substance use disorder treatment. And I think that one of the things that we're not really focusing on is the fact that right now the systems that are in place are, okay, we put people into detox, it's 15 days, and then we put them in intensive outpatient therapy, which is great, you know, it's great for your white-collar working citizens. However, we're not really giving these people the opportunity to get down to the why. I've been in recovery for 5 years myself. I know what works and what does not work. I know that if you're early in recovery, that you shouldn't get into a relationship within the first 2 years. I know that your way is never really the great way of obtaining sobriety. For myself, I know that I had to humble myself and put my pride aside and do what I was told versus what I normally do, because like in the program, they talk about the actor who's always trying to rearrange the set and, you know, tell everybody what to do. And it's just the egomaniac that's running wild. And I was that egomaniac. And I know that addictive behaviors and everything that's incorporated with addiction comes with those types of behaviors. And in order to fix those behaviors, in order to be able to change your thinking, you need time. And I don't think that 15 days of detox is adequate time. We can't be throwing people back into society and with everything in their faces right off the bat. I think that it's important that we implement long-term treatment. I think that there are some amazing Christian-based rehabs that are coming into fruition right now in the state of Delaware, and they're not receiving the proper funding that they need. And I think that we need to start reaching out to those 12-step based programs and helping them out, because I myself am a direct reflection of a 12-step program, and I was able to completely change my life. And I think that those are some of the things that we really need to focus on: long-term treatment, as well as these 12-step based programs. And not just, you know, where these judges are sentencing people to their sentences, where they're, you know, being incarcerated for not so much of a lengthy period of time. They're being released out on probation or parole. And then the stipulations of their probation is you have to go to an AA meeting. I've been there. I've done that. I know that it's very, very easy to show up to an AA meeting, sit there, not pay attention, and be like, hey, can I have a signature? And you don't get anything out of it. And the reason why is because you're not really getting down to the why. I think that needs to be a focus. We have more Americans who are dying from substance use disorder than almost anything else. You know, 88,000 people die from alcohol-related deaths. 67,000 people die from opioid-related deaths in America. That's pushing it to like 140,000. You know, that's a lot of people. You know, I think that our prison reform system needs to be changed as well when it comes to our programming, and I'm not saying like programming like we're going to program people's minds. I'm saying like providing adequate resources to change antisocial behavior to enable pro-social behaviors so we can get these people off of the streets back into the economy. I want to get young men off of the streets and into Wall Street. If there's anybody who understands strong business acumen, it's a drug dealer. You know, and there's like this whole, there's this whole ideology, like you don't get high on your own supply. Like that's smart business acumen, whether we like to admit it or not. And these men would be strong, strong businessmen. And why not take advantage of the fact that they already have this business acumen and lead them in the right direction so they can be making money legally. They don't have to be looking over their shoulders and they don't have to worry about the police bothering them anymore. Get them off of the streets and into business suits.
That's Republican candidate for U.S. House, Matthew Morris. Our full conversation with him is available at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, we hear from the other GOP candidate for U.S. House, Lee Murphy. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.